do you like? Movie podcast hosted by inebriated people. That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Film Podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hello everyone and welcome to MILFcast. This is the Man I Love Films podcast where we don't do movie reviews. Nope, it's a place where people like films get together, deal with that shit. I'm your host, Kai. Joining me as always, the lovely, say nothing mean, Heather Baxendale, everybody. Say hello, Heather.
Hi, Kai. I'm putting numbers on things.
What are you putting numbers on?
My awards, because I didn't organize them, but I have a lot.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert. This is normally we spend a moment with you, and then we get into the normal show stuff. We're not going to do that today. For those of you that are new to the show, please go back and check one of our older episodes, not the last one, because in January we have two shows that are a little, like, unusual. We were able to have our Tournament of Champions last episode, and congratulations, spoiler alert, to Jason Soto for finally winning. He's been a contestant a few times, I believe. I will be shipping his present on Monday, his bag full of shit that he won. That's awesome. Good for him. This week, the second week of January, we do, it's award season. The Globes have come. The Academy Awards are happening. There's SAG. There's all the shit. So we want to do our own. So this is our annual MILFy Awards. We don't have music for this. Normally I do a bunch of bumpers, but we're just going to have to wing it. So what we do every year is we come up with our own awards, and we try to make them funny, or sometimes we just talk about shit that bugs us and give awards for it. So that's what we're going to do. And as always, we have guests for this. So joining us today, I'll do this one or two at a time here, is our co-host, defunct leader of the Lamb and old Man I Love Films guy, Dylan Fields. Say hello, Dylan.
Hello, and welcome to the MILFies. I just want to say something to the listeners out there. Do listen to this show, because if you listen to Kai, who says, this show's a little different, don't listen to this one, you'll never end up listening to any of the shows.
So true.
Is that true?
You it's say like every episode. Every second or third show.
No, I only say that when we do something that is out of the realm of our normal, like...
Uh-huh.
God damn it.
Yeah. We're not normal very often, Kai.
That's true. All right. Well, you know, Dylan's here because he pointed out he wasn't invited last year, and now I'm thinking he may not be here in 2019. So. No.
It won't be normal then.
Dylan, yeah, I'll have to tell them. Dylan stated he wasn't here last year, and he was always a part of this. I asked my wife. She doesn't remember him being a part of this either. Was he always a part of the MILFy Awards? Am I making that up?
I don't even remember being a part of the MILFy Awards.
That's what we expect from you. I mean, that's to be expected. Okay, well, I'm happy to have him. I like Dylan.
I think you should ask the other guests.
Okay, well then let's introduce him. How about that?
Boom, segue. See what I did there?
All right.
It's like you've podcasted before.
There's two dudes that we like very much, and they're funny guys, and that's one of the reasons we ask them to come back every year to be a part of this show. They are Mark McDowell and George Bell, formerly of the Green People Soup blog. Say hello, guys.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here. Still woefully underqualified. Oh, and I think Dylan did the first MILFies with us, but I don't remember him doing another one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, that yeah was George. That excited yeah was George. To give you a visual, George looks like one of the creators of South Park. Is that fair?
Yes. Thank you. Fair enough.
So thank you guys again for being here. Now, you're not doing anything with, like, movie stuff these days, huh? You're just, like, being normal, funny dudes, right?
I just exist in reality.
Just parents who, get in our geeky fix whenever we can.
Yeah, you guys just keep having babies, huh?
Number 3 is coming, possibly today.
Oh my. That's too many.
Let's see if we could, like, laugh it out of her. Let's make her laugh. Bring her in the room. Make her listen to this.
Got an hour.
That's not nice. Wait till the show's over.
What?
I was playing Pokemon while I was like 6 hours into labor. We were on a walk.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't want to go to the hospital. So you can do things when you're in labor. It's fine.
Yeah, you're allowed to do things. They don't like strap you to a bed.
Well, it's stuck in a bed if you get an epidural. They don't want you to walk, though. They tell you you can, but they're lying. They don't want you to.
I heard the other day they encourage you to, like, okay, you face your headboard, you put your butt up against it with your legs in the air, you kind of, like, walk up the wall, and then you do, like, bicycle kicks in the air to get that thing stirring. Is that okay?
True? So there is a difference in the positions they put you in now than 10, 12 years ago when I had Liam. Dude, it was like the Kama Sutra going on in my fucking bed.
That's hot.
It was pretty awesome. The lady's like, we're going to try this position. I'm like, yeah, I was in that like 5 hours ago. It's great. And she was asking me if I was comfortable with all this stuff. I just must have sounded like the biggest skank. I was like, oh, I can do that. And I was trying to flirt with her, but I guess it wasn't working. I was in labor. But yeah, they do some pretty weird stuff. I haven't climbed up the wall, but I was pretty close.
You have me climbing up a wall every time you talk.
I think there was one called something with firemen, fire hydrant. It sounded really, really dirty. Enough that you had to get cleaned off with a fire hydrant. I don't remember. That was a good position, though.
Clean off with a fire hydrant sounds like sexual code in this conversation that we're having right now.
Yes.
All right, let's move on from this. All right, so these are our Milfy Awards. So what we've all done is we've all come up with at least 5 awards that we would like to give to films this year, or group of films, or something that happened in Hollywood this year, and that's what we're going to do. We give them stupid little names. We try to be funny. We usually fail, so that's okay, too. But we're going to go around the room. I'll pick it. If somebody does one and you have one that's similar or kind of goes in tow with or would be a good piggyback, feel free to chime in and go, hey, I have one there. But otherwise, we'll just keep kind of going around and throwing them out. But who'd like to start us off? How about one of the boys over there, the old green people boys? One of you guys want to go first?
Absolutely. Marcus here. I'll go first. Okay. So I'll start with the best alien invasion that seemingly only affects the Justice League and one random Russian family award goes to, obviously, the Justice League. And it sort of brings up kind of something that bugs me. It's like, when did we start as a film-going society becoming so concerned about fictitious collateral damage? Did that start with Man of Steel? Because in Man of Steel, yes. It was all about like, oh my God, all the fictitious people died when he fought Zod. And then when you get to Batman v Superman, Ben Affleck is like, we've got to get away. We've got to get Doomsday away from Gotham City. Go to this place where there's nobody at. And now by the time you get to Justice League, they're totally like, we're off in freaking Russia. That's where the aliens are. And it seems to affect no one else but like those guys, the super team and one Russian family.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Why doesn't that one family fucking move? They live next to a nuclear stack that's full with like, parademons from an alternate dimension, like, and they're only used to put a board on the fucking window.
There's a place like that near here, though, that actually exists. It's a Fermi nuclear plant, and we call the people that live in these shacks surrounding the plant Fermis because they're fucking all weird. But that's what it looks like where they live. They all live in these shacks that surround the nuclear plant out in the middle of these fields. There are weird people in the world.
See, this is why I'm afraid to go to your wedding. Between that and all the Juggalos, like, I'm terrified of Michigan.
Juggalos aren't the ones you have to worry about. Go to the Red Roof Inn. It's fine.
Okay.
I just remember back in the day, we used to watch Independence Day, and they would blow up every building known to man. Nobody cared about all those people who potentially could have died in those buildings, but now we care. Okay, that's fine.
You know what? I think I started seeing that more. I think you get that with at least Spielberg movies and Peter Jackson movies, where they sit there and they really, really work the focus of the innocent people that are going to die. But aside from them, I think you're right. I think it's really being exploited in superhero movies in particular.
Well, it only happened because it's Superman, and yeah. Superman won't kill people, and they got a bunch of shit for Man of Steel, because not only did he, spoiler alert, kill the villain, but there was like billions upon billions of dollars of collateral damage that he didn't care about. So
I don't even like that argument that he killed somebody, because he kills Zod in Superman 2, and he does it jokingly, nonchalantly. He drops him down an ice shaft.
I don't make the rules.
Something else occurred to me, too. Like, as Mark was doing the Batman voice that they've all taken to doing, by the way, Keaton never did, it's funny because we always think of, like, Superman as a Boy Scout. We think of, like, Batman is the fucking cool one, but Batman's got a full like fucking body covered. Everything's covered except like part of his cheek and his mouth, and he's disguising his voice. Meanwhile, Superman, like a pimp, just throws on fucking glasses and doesn't even bother to change his voice.
Maybe he does swirl in his hair too.
He does do the swirl. Yeah, the swirl.
Yeah, the hair.
Big difference.
But it
definitely is reason for confusion.
That's kind
of sure.
Creepy. All right, I like that award. Let's move on to another one. Let's go to Heather for one.
Okay. Every year, I give out a Michael Bay Award to the best explosion from some unnecessary special effect that happened. And more often than not, it hasn't been Michael Bay in the last few years because he's still just making fucking Transformer movies. However, this year, I'm going to give the anti-Michael Bay Award to Atomic Blonde for the car crash as they're coming out of the tunnel. Because it was totally realistic. Nothing exploded. Nothing caught on fire. The car just flipped over and slid across the ground. It was all practical, awesome effects.
So this
Jane
is
Jane Wick.
This Jane Wick. I like that. This is the anti-Michael Bay award.
Yep, it's the opposite of his. It was a real effect.
I was hoping it was about an implosion rather than just a lack of explosion.
Okay, anybody, favorite implosion? I know mine. What's your favorite implosion?
Implosion? I would have to say Michael Bean in The Abyss in the submarine when it just kind of goes kaplooey on him.
I'm gonna go
Dark Knight Rises.
That's good.
I'm going to go same route as The Abyss, but a different movie. And the thing is, I can't remember if it's Deep Star 6 or Leviathan. I think it's Deep Star 6, where the guy doesn't decompress and he starts to bleed. Is it Leviathan?
Okay. Yeah.
He starts to bleed from his nose, and then you start to hear the windows crack, and then the thing folds like a tin can. I love it.
It was one of those, because in the 80s, there was like four or five of those, like they were exactly the same underwater monster kind of scenario.
It was the new space.
Just pick one. It's that one.
Exactly. All right, Dylan.
I'd say the kid from Event Horizon.
Oh. Is that George?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name.
I thought George was sleeping. George, why don't you give us an award?
Here, can you hear me better? Here, let's move this thing.
Yeah.
How's this?
Hi, George.
Put it in your mouth. Put it in your mouth and talk.
It's way too big. And
she
black.
That's not what she said.
I don't see color. Okay, come
that's
on.
That's truth, though.
Let's do an award.
Yes, best death by pencil goes to two dudes and John Wick's pencil. And John Wick 2.
Okay,
accepting will be the pencil.
With my John Wick 2 award, which is best kill-death ratio of any film ever. John
ever.
Wick.
Ever.
Yes. Ever.
Well, it's two dudes, one pencil for mine, so.
I saw that video on YouTube.
There's so many titles here. I didn't know there was a movie coming out called John Wick's Pencil, but it sounds riveting.
I just like the idea of the pencil accepting the award. That's great, because the pencil was honored in that award.
Indeed.
The pencil should be. The pencil's been big in the last, like, decade and whatnot. I mean, Heath Ledger really loved it, too.
The pencil's making a comeback? Is that what you're trying to say?
The pencil's making a comeback.
It's been number two.
It had a few off years. Yeah. Oh, my God. That was...
This is the kind of list I would have written when I had a blog. I would have gone and made a top 10 uses of pencils in film, and you would be surprised the shit you go back when you start searching and thinking about that stuff that you find. It's pretty
Can we just end the podcast right now after Kai's epic pun right there?
No, I was hoping you got it.
We're not gonna top or bottom that. I don't know. Either way.
All right, Dylan, give me one.
Well, all this sex talk has got me ready for the Heather Memorial Porn Title Award.
Oh, I got one. Let's do it, Dylan.
It's a two-parter. First, I have the really, because it's so fucking obvious, it's lame, and that it goes to Snatched. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, I cannot do that one.
The second one is the more traditional Porn Title Award. You know, I searched the entire list. I'm sure yours is better, because I could not. I was just trying to find something that would be remotely funny, and it's not really, but it works, and it is to the pseudo-horror thriller It Comes at Night. So,
okay. I had, here's my award, easiest, because Heather and I basically became friends when I would do these posts on my site, which were films that you almost didn't have to change in order for them to be porn, and we would just throw them out for days at each other, and that's when her and I really clicked, so this has kind of become a running one, too. It Comes at Night was my first one, but I think the easiest one is Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature.
I saw that title today.
And the fun thing is,
it,
you can...
It caused me to pause.
Yeah, and you can, you don't need to see the first one. The porn or the movie. I think you could just watch the second one and jump right in and not worry about what
Probably
happened
true.
Before it.
Well, that's impressive. Duality.
That's what she said.
Double entendre.
Double penetration. All right.
Oy.
So let's go back to Mark. Let's start another round of this. Go ahead, Mark. Kick us off.
All right. Since we're keeping it all sexy, I'll try to stay on that theme here. Okay, so I always like to look for things I haven't seen in movies before, and I think this one was a first. So this award is the Best Male Android on Female Android Inside Hologram Female AI Sex Scene Award.
What?
And that goes to Blade Runner 2049.
Ah, yes.
We had to rehearse that to get that right.
I didn't know if I was going to be able to say that.
I believe it is.
Don't listen too hard or you'll get spoilers for the movie that aren't really spoilers.
That was a movie first.
Yeah.
Let them deconstruct that thing.
I have not seen it. It's the fucking runtime, you guys. I don't have a day to watch Blade Runner 2.
What, 4.5 hours?
Just do it because it's worth it. It's my favorite movie of the year. Yeah, by far. Like,
it's your favorite movie of the year?
Yep. Nothing even touches it.
Are you a Blade Runner fan? Because I think Blade Runner is a little bit overrated.
It is overrated.
I understand that. Totally get it. I like it for what it is and appreciate it. I might actually like this one better.
But look, if you like porns the way I do, you watch porns like I do, and you just go to your favorite scene, so just go to the best male android on female android inside hologram female AI, and then, you know, you're good to go.
You had to work it in one more time because you put all that work in. You want a third? You wanted to go out
I
on the
tried,
third?
I tried, because I care.
Okay.
Work it in later in the show.
Yeah.
I had a Blade Runner award also. Mine was the I'm not getting too old for this shit award for Harrison Ford, because he's still a fucking baller. That's right.
He really is. I like that he's recycling all his old properties, but he's still trying to act cool as if he's not. And, like, at least he's doing it in a, like, he wanted Solo, well, spoiler alert, he wanted Solo years ago.
Yeah.
And he got what he wanted. Him. So he gets to come back, do it, but still do it on his terms. So I guess there's kind of a little coolness to it. But he's also just recycling a bunch of shit right now.
Yeah, he had a mechanical arm.
I'm waiting for Mosquito Coast 2, and I'm not going to stop.
Well,
he's stubborn, though. He keeps getting hurt because he wants to do all of his own stunts still. He keeps getting freaking hurt on all these sets, and everything keeps getting delayed.
Yeah, and he insists on he's getting to that age where they talk about maybe taking your driver's license away, but he's flying planes.
Well, then just do Regarding Henry 2.
While we're here, I'm going to throw out one of my honorable mentions, which was Blade Runner related, because it's just kind of a throwaway, which is the holy shit, once in a generation they actually did a sequel 30 years later, Wright Award, and it went to Blade Runner 2049, because it's yeah, we need to appreciate these, where it's been at least 15 years since the sequel, and it's as good or better. It's really rare in Hollywood.
When else is that work, Dylan? Do we have something to compare that to? I mean, what
the two Jakes, clearly.
Tron Legacy?
Oh!
That was just like the dude.
I'll fight you about Tron. I love Tron.
Wait.
There's absolutely examples. I just can't think of any right now.
Wait. I need everyone to be quiet. Whenever I have an opportunity on the show to make my Tron Legacy action figure talk, I do it. So here we go.
Do it.
She had to laugh over it because she's
damn it, Heather.
Show killer. All right, goddamn, be quiet. Here we go. He has a little holograph face that lights up. It's awesome. You guys got to get these.
That's very exciting.
We got to work together. It's the only way.
Yes, I love it.
Anyway, talk about show.
Just call that Daft Punk the movie.
That was in quite the show.
Daft Punk the movie. It's so true. Hey, that could get together with Die Antwoord the movie. Chappie.
Yes.
All right, I got one. I'm gonna just throw it out. It's a quick one. The All the Money in the World award goes to The Men of Hollywood, and it will be accepted by Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, nobody even wants to laugh at that because of the current
topical.
Climate.
So
yes,
topical.
So topical. Okay. That's why, you know what, I observe, Dylan, and then I create. I observe and create. All right, who's next? Let's go to George.
All right. I will go with the Someone Was Pissed at Captain Picard Award, and that goes to Logan in Logan. Man, it's so depressing to watch him go out like that. It gets me in the feels.
I
just had to get that off my chest.
But he went out in an awesome movie.
Yeah.
And in an awesome way. It was a very happy, perfect day for him. I mean,
I like
his words.
Except for the end. Yeah.
I like the thing about Logan I liked a lot was this catastrophic event that everyone else in Hollywood would be compelled to show, and they just almost just throw it away. Like, what's happened to basically all the X-Men, all the mutants, everybody is all come down to, like, X went nuts and blew him up with his mind, basically. It's some event that we don't even really get to see or know all the details about, but it exists, and they make you aware of it with, like, a sentence. And just, like, that explains the whole movie so well, is the simplistic nature in which it's told is very powerful.
They did just about everything right with that movie, let's be real.
Yes. Even being faithful to the tone, to a certain extent, of the comic, which it's not in line with the comic, but the Old Man Logan series, but it's pretty faithful to, like, the tone of him and his character of where he's at. So I like that a lot, too. Okay, nobody reads comics with me. All right, let's go to Dylan.
It totally does. Yeah. I mean, the tone.
You can use the internet to get these. Okay. Dylan, you got a throwaway, but what was your next actual one?
This is kind of also a Heather memorial. I don't know why my show is dedicated to Heather. This is the Alien versus Predator award to two franchises that really need to hook up already, and it goes to two of Heather's favorite franchises, I'm sure, which are Underworld and Resident Evil. Can we please put these fucking franchises together and then kill them somehow? The lead characters can kill each other. What are there, like six of each of these by now?
We can't because it was Resident Evil, the final chapter this year. So
I tried to think of an award. I just couldn't muster the will to care enough to like get an award going for it.
Oh, I would totally.
I watched it not too long ago.
I would watch a crossover film. Bring me Under Evil any day.
It sounds pretty good, actually. Yeah, it might actually get me into the theater.
I was just going to say, I would probably watch it for the sheer awfulness.
You
that
guys
it could
keep
be
saying
in,
it,
anyway.
But you're not pointing out which movie as if you've already combined them in the real world. Which one are you talking about?
The combination.
Yes. Like
George
Alien
said, I just
versus
watched
Predator.
It, and I literally
you do
had
Underworld and yeah.
I had no idea what movie he was talking about, though. What movie were you talking about, George? Were you talking about Resident Evil or Underworld?
Both.
Yes.
Just pick one.
Okay, there we go.
I was talking about Resident Evil.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Resident Evil's actually relatively watchable as far as it. If it's like on cable and there's commercials, that's something that I'd keep.
And I can fall asleep, and then wake up and there's a gun bug.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Underworld, I watch after the first or second one for nothing other than Kate Beckinsale. I didn't even know they were still making them until this
one came out in 2017. Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of a guilty pleasure.
I think if you go and look, like, I always Google all the movies that came out this year to refresh my memory of, like, because sometimes you throw stuff into the wrong year. You know, like, it came out late 2016 and you call it 17, but I think Underworld was the first movie of the year.
That's funny.
All right, Heather, did you ever give yours?
My what?
Well, we're doing awards.
My filthy? Okay, well, since we were talking about aliens, I will use that segue to this award, which is the most awkward non-sexual sexual scene, which was Fassbender versus Fassbender.
Oh, my God, just blow each other.
I know. I was like,
I had that as one of my awards.
Yeah. I really need to see this.
Have you not seen Alien yet, Dylan?
Alien Covenant, no.
Best male on male android fingering award.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It was really hot and really weird at the same time, which totally made me interested.
Ridley Scott, did he like read the script line out loud? I mean, see how that sounded?
I never looked at a screen at a movie theater and said, do you guys need me to leave you alone for a little while?
It did. It felt like so voyeuristic. And we weren't supposed to be seeing that.
Yes, this is not a bash on homosexuality or anything. It's just it got really gay all of a sudden, and nobody knows why, and there's really no reason for it, and it's a really strange scene.
And it's not like it's between two actual people. It's just two Michael Fassbenders on top of it.
Yes. Which I don't even know if that counts as gay. And they're not humans, so it may not even be gay either. But
no.
It's just masturbation.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is, I'm fine with. They just wasn't expecting it there.
This seems like a really good time for me to introduce the other film in the porn title awards that I forgot to mention, which is Fist Fight.
Nice. I like
Oy.
That.
Ah. Oh.
Anything with fist. Enter the fist. You name it. It should be that one with Michael Fassbender should be the Would You Fuck Me, I'd Fuck Me Silence of the Lambs awards.
Can we combine all this with his movie Shame somehow?
Yes.
I really hope so. If you combine anything with Shame, I'll be happy.
I have not watched that yet.
Oh, watch it.
Well, if you like Michael Fassbender penis, it's the movie for you.
I've been contemplating it.
And if you don't, you
will.
Well,
I mean, that's helpful. Yeah, even if you don't like Michael Fassbender penis, he'll change your mind.
I stood up and started a slow golf applaud in the theater, and people slowly joined behind me and were cheering in joy at the end, celebrating
this
man's
really happen?
Apology. Yes, Heather, that really fucking happened.
I was just explaining to another person how I will applaud and I'll stand up in the theater and cheer. And he's like, that is the weirdest shit I've ever heard. I'm like, well, dude, I do it. I love movies. Fuck right, you.
What about...
That's great.
Answer me this. That always happens in Star Wars movies. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
When you go to the
for
theater?
For the most part. I always see Star Wars movies on opening weekend, so it's a different crowd, too.
I don't either. I've gone a week later, and it's still there. Like, they scream when the scroll goes up. They applauded when Skywalker went out to fight Ren. They applauded. And then at the end of the movie, like, standing ovation.
That is usually my experience with Star Wars films. The Last Jedi was probably the most quiet, boring, lame crowd I've ever watched a Star Wars movie with. I was upset. I was sitting there cheering and yelling and doing all the things I do, and there was very little reaction from anyone other than my brother, who's
all scared because you were scaring and yelling and doing all the things that you do.
Yeah, well, fuck them. They came to the theater at the same time as me. It's not my problem.
Sounds good. Let's go to Mark for his next award.
All right, since we just talked about Star Wars, that was a nice segue, so it's been far too long since anybody of us has picked on Star Wars. And to be fair, I want to preface this by saying this scene actually didn't bother me, but anyways, here it is. It is the Super Leia Fragilistic CG, how atrocious, goes to Last Jedi. You know, the Leia Poppins floating in space seems to not sit well with some people. It actually didn't really bother me.
I hate it.
George hates it.
George, all right.
I love it. I actually shed a tear. I went a little weepy.
Big fan.
I did too, but it was out of rage.
Did anybody? Yes. Did anybody did anybody go? This was a good opportunity to get rid of Carrie Fisher's character right here in kind of a sweet way.
Everyone did.
Yes.
I thought that's what they were going to do, but Rian Johnson said that he didn't want to, take away her final performance. So I'm like, okay, whatever.
Fair enough, but. I think that, I don't know, it was terrible. My award for that particular scene was worst use of the Force ever. And yes, that includes any scene with little fucking asshole Anakin. So, there.
Yippee!
It was awful. It made me angry. If that had been any other movie than a Star Wars movie, I would have left.
It didn't bother me. But again, that everything about Last Jedi seems to be polarizing.
I like the rest of the movie. I like the rest of the movie. There, it's not perfect, but I like the rest of the movie. That part made me angry because I'm like, you're insulting me at this point. But you're one of the few people I've heard say that I actually liked it. I'm glad at least it got an emotional reaction out of you. That makes a little more sense.
That doesn't bother me, but one of my other awards, I'll just go ahead and piggyback on it, was like the worst case of meat shaming award goes to when Chewbacca is going to eat the porg and they're all staring at him. It seems to me that like they have this sort of agenda with PETA or something because, also in the scenes where they're... By the way, those scenes, the horse thing should have been tauntauns, okay? Let me just put that out there. Yeah. But anyways, they're like, oh, no, don't eat porgs and don't beat the tauntaun thing. Or don't beat the tauntaun, not non-tauntaun things.
The non-taun.
The non-tauns.
Don't beat the non-tauns.
That would be so fucking rad if they were called non-tauns. I swear to God, that would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there was definitely a little shameless finger wagging.
I swear to God, I was hoping Chewbacca would just take a bite of it, but they never showed.
I wanted him to too. As cute as it was, I still wanted to watch it.
All right,
Dylan has something to say.
Eat the porg, Chewie.
All right, I'm just gonna go ahead and do it now. I usually save it for the end of the show, but I'm just gonna go ahead and do it now. So every year, we give out a special award. It started in 2010, possibly 2011. I forget. It was the same year the film Unstoppable came out. This is our yearly Unstoppable Award. The film Unstoppable inspired this award because it drove us so fucking nuts because they stopped the fucking train. So it's not fucking unstoppable, okay?
Okay, you missed the point, though. It's dead.
No, we didn't miss the point.
There's no point being missed. They stopped the fucking train.
It's not going to happen.
It should be called Stoppable, okay? All right, so... I think other films that have had this prestigious award include Flight, which is about a plane that crashes. So this year's award, as much as I like the film, goes to Star Wars The Last Jedi. Because
there's
five fucking Jedis in the movie, okay? And the film ends with the possibility that there are millions other out in the galaxy, children who can move brooms with their minds... Everywhere, an abundance of Jedi in a film called The Last Fucking Jedi that never, ever, ever gets to a point where there is one fucking Jedi.
There can be only one.
No, there's millions. Little children. Doing it.
There is another. There is another.
You know what's unstoppable? The Jedi.
I don't know if you know this, Kai, but Sith always travel in pairs, except when one of them gets killed, and then there's only one, but they always travel in pairs, so I don't know what happens.
No more, no less.
No more, no less, except when there's always more or less.
Like, yes. Dooku and Anakin and his transformation.
I think math is an issue in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I don't think they're talking about
it. It's weird because space...
Well, yeah,
they maybe they didn't have spreadsheets.
Well, they started with 4, 5, 6, and then went 1, 2, 3, and now we're 7, 8, 9. So, yeah, they don't even know how to fucking count. It's all fucked up.
Fair enough.
And I hate... Can I just throw this out? Last thing I want to say about Star Wars, we can move on. I hate when someone decides, I'm going to show my children the Star Wars movies, and they begin with the Phantom fucking Menace.
That's wrong.
You don't fucking do it 1, 2, 3. You do it in the order they came out and explain it later.
Yeah, preaching to the choir.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, when as all of us are parents, I think we can all agree that that is how it is done.
Yes. All right, let's move on. Who do we miss in that round? Anybody? Are we on for our next round?
Well, I've got a Star Wars related award, so I thought
it,
now would be a good time.
Dump
it. Do it.
This is the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde award for a good actor who is more than capable of being a terrible actor, and he has one film in 2017 and one 2018, but we're going to count it for the show because you've all seen the trailer probably. The award goes to Domhnall Gleeson, who sucks fucking ass whenever he shows up in Star Wars. I don't know what they are telling him to do in this movie. They're like, Gleeson, just eat scenery and be like a mustache-twirling guy on the railroad tracks. Be awful. Be the worst actor you can be. And then he shows up in like Ex Machina or Brooklyn or any number of good films, and he's a solid actor. And then he shows up in the trailer for Peter Rabbit, and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Why is he doing this shitty movie, and why is he a shitty actor?
You
oh,
know
wait.
What?
No, I don't know. But...
I'm surprised that you haven't pointed out the parallels of him to Nick Cage. Oh, good movies, good actor. Bad movies, bad actor.
Yeah, but
it makes money for
people don't generally think of Star Wars as a bad movie, and yet he
that's
is
true,
tremendously awful in it. They're like, okay, see Grand Moff Tarkin? Be him, but a shitty actor version of him, and mix it with Hitler or
they
something.
Did kinda,
and a
they
little
did
like
severely bungle that character. I mean, he's kind of like over the top in Force Awakens.
Yes,
and this one he's more like over the top comic relief over the top.
His
it's
character deviates more than anyone else in this newer film. Like, it just, he turns into, like, a joke piece for Ren.
Long live the Supreme Leader!
Yeah, there's a lot of that, too.
Well, both films would have been a lot better without him. I mean, if these movies had been made 20 years ago, we could have had John Hurt pulling his V for Vendetta role. It would have been great.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine? Yeah. But instead, we get stuck with Domhnall Gleeson attempting to do fuck all if I know. I don't know.
It's weird. All it's right. Really weird casting. But you're right. You would think that he would be good in that role, but it's not.
Well, we can only speculate and theorize for the next couple of years as to what will happen to him in episode 9.
I love
and then be gravely disappointed.
Mark. Jesus. Mark, do your voice. What voice is that you're doing? Is it your Stewie?
He's Mark Hamill from doing
kind
the Joker.
Of my snivelly, because he's such a snivelly character in The Last Jedi. All
right. Since Dylan said good actor in Star Wars, I got to throw one more thing out. Does anyone get bugged by the fact that the Poe Dameron, every time he sees BB-8, he turns into, like, the little boy when Lassie comes home, and he's like, hey, buddy, how you been? What happened, pal? Oh, you want me to play the disc? Okay. Timmy's in a fucking well. Leia's on a fucking planet. Like, seriously.
He's so cute.
He's so
the
cute.
Fucking robot,
really
dude.
He's cute. He's a cute robot.
Yeah.
What is wrong with that?
Like Blade Runner,
if only the robot had been played by Michael Fassbender. Oh.
Oh, shame.
Okay, let's go to our next round. George, why don't you kick
us
off?
Yeah, moving away from Star Wars, I think we're done.
Yes, Star Trek.
So, yeah.
No, go ahead.
Okay. No, well, don't start me on that. No. You said an hour.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So, anyways. So, my next award, the Head and the Shitter Award. And that goes to Bradley, Brawl and Cell Block 99.
Ooh,
that's a good I don't want to give too much away. It's such a simple movie, but still, I don't want to say too much about it because it's just an awesome experience. But, like, some violence occurs, and I liked it.
Yeah, that director. Yeah. So this is the guy that did Bone Tomahawk. And by the way, I think I texted Heather. I looked up his account, and his next film is something.
Dragged
Across the Concrete with Vince Vaughn, and is it Kurt Russell doing it with him?
No, it's Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
That's right, Mel Gibson. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, holy shit, this guy has the weirdest thing. I actually find the bulk of his films to be kind of like. Like, I almost start to lose interest because there's not a lot happening. Like, he establishes the story, but it's a little slow. And then this just kind of twisted, uber-violent ending happens that, kind of shocks you so much that you're like, that was a fucking intense little movie experience.
Brawl kind of switched gears for me much quicker than Bone Tomahawk. Bone Tomahawk was, like, tension through the whole movie there. It wasn't as much there, but... His movies are tense. I think that is the best way that I could describe them.
But they're almost Brawl is almost like a generic kind of stereotype movie. Like I think we've seen that movie before.
Sure, like the title Brawl of Cellblock 99. It's like an old B movie.
Well, it reminded me of like Assault on Precinct 13 is where my head immediately went, especially when you see the ending of that movie.
That's fair too.
That 70s Carpenter violence a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good movie. Dylan, you should watch that.
I need to see both of those movies, goddammit.
Okay. Yes. Don't bring God into it. All right, let's go to Mark.
Okay, for my next award, I am going to call this the better season 2 of Stranger Things than season 2 of Stranger Things. And I'm giving that to It. They literally took the kid from Stranger Things. They're like, hey, let's just do some more Stranger Things and... You know, have it set to cool 80s montage music and all that kind of fun stuff. So there you go.
Hey, so the other day I was like, I finally need to see It. I don't need to see it. So I had ability to watch it, and I go on to watch it. And the movie starts out kind of cheesy, and there's – don't correct me. I'll explain. There's four kids and a dad or an older brother walking. Their silhouettes are on the highway. There's like this kind of 80s sweet music playing. And then they decide to camp for the night, and they go in the tent, and lightning bolts come out of the sky and strike them all dead. And then it goes 1 year earlier. And then it cuts to this family with these, like, little kids, 80s style. And it's just a really cheesy 80s movie. There's a dog. I watched this movie for about 25 minutes thinking it was the movie It, and, praising it, going, oh, this is really in the tone of the original kind of, like, Stephen King TV movie version of the original film. But after about 25 minutes, I realized it wasn't going anywhere towards the story I was aware of. And I was like wondering what they did to adapt it. Well, I found out I was watching some movie called The Stray. I had clicked the wrong movie.
I was going to say, what movie are you watching?
Yes, and now I suggest you all go watch a movie called The Stray about a family that finds a dog that brings them together after part of the family dies. Go watch the first 15 minutes of The Stray. And pretend you never heard anything about It, and see if you could see it as in like a modern day 80s reimagining of a Stephen King 80s horror film.
That's putting that on my list.
Do, yeah,
that is your right. homework. And if I
homework assignment,
shit, yes, go do it. Okay, that's great. I like that. I like that one, Mark. Heather.
Yes.
It's your turn.
Okay. Let's see. What one should I do this time? Oh, this one's fun. And I think Kai and I might have mentioned this before. But I think it's time we give a Tyler Durden Award, ooh, Tyler Durden Lookalike Award, to James McAvoy in Atomic Blonde. Because what the hell?
It's his entire outfit.
Yes, from head to toe. He's even got the bald, shaved head.
He's got the sheer. He's got the sheer tank. He's got the mink coat. He's got like everything.
It's Tyler Durden.
I am Jackson or Turmoil.
You know, I just heard a really cool story actually about Atomic Blonde. I was reading fun facts about the movie Split, and I heard that McAvoy actually fractured his hand on that movie and then went on to shoot Atomic Blonde, and that's why he's got that cast on through the whole movie. He broke his arm doing Split.
So you're saying he got a split in his bone?
Yeah, dude.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and the Academy Got It Wrong Award goes to McAvoy not being fucking nominated. Dylan, your turn.
Right. The Hey 2017 Get a Fucking Thesaurus Award goes to... It's a 5-film tie. You ready? Wonder Woman, Wonder Wheel, Wonderstruck, Wonder, Professor Marston and the Wonder Women. What the fuck?
Oh, I can piggy on your thesaurus. I almost did that exact same fucking award. The Year of Wonder Award was going to go to those films. But I have this one, too. I did one similar to this last year. I tweaked it a little bit for this year. The Why Are You So Angry Award goes to War Machine, Get Out, Arsenal, Underworld, Blood Wars, War on Everyone, Fist Fight, Bitter Harvest, War for Planet of the Apes, First Kill, Armed Response, Blood Money, Killing of the Sacred Deer, Mayhem, and Hostiles.
Wow.
We're not a violent country.
No.
We're not.
No, not at all.
Don't promote that shit at all.
Jeez.
All right. So where are we at right now? I've got one of my main ones left. Are you guys down to your last one, too?
I have two more main ones, I think.
Just one.
Okay. Heather's not counting right. All right, Heather, why don't you go first? And then we'll end with you.
My Bedroom Eyes Award goes to King Kong, because one of the things that I was totally surprised about this year was how well the special effects was in that film, and after the first 20 to 30 minutes, how much fun it actually was. It was a really good creature flick. But the eyes that they got, Kong's eyes, they always look slightly off. Even I watched Avatar for the first time in forever yesterday, and you can even see a little glint where it's just, it doesn't look real. Kong's eyes, dead fucking sexy. I think it was some of the best CGI I've seen done in a long time.
I was going to call that my Apes on a Plane Award with Sam Jackson.
And he said, hold on to your butts in that. Yeah.
I am not a fan of I'm not a fan of King Kong movies in general, and I liked this one a little bit. I found it enjoyable to watch. It was a good summer flick.
It was. It was surprisingly fun. I actually enjoyed it.
All right, let's go over to Colorado. You guys are in Colorado, right? Did I make that up in my head? You guys are in Colorado?
We are in. Correct. We are in Colorado.
Okay. Why don't you kick it out to Colorado for your two vital awards. Give it to us.
All right. I'm going to go with the Best Placement of Tracking Device in the Honeypot Award to Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
Also a good movie, dude. There should be like a Best Death Award, too, for everything with that meat grinder.
Yeah, it's hard to pick your best cameo with Elton John and lots of good stuff. If they didn't quite surprise you like the first one, still I enjoyed it nonetheless. I'd watch another Kingsman movie any day.
Yeah, fuck yeah, do it. All right, George, what about you?
There probably will be another Kingsman. So I'll keep talking about violence. That works for me.
you sound like an angry guy, so okay, go ahead.
That's right. So the Mickey Mouse Award goes to Cheyenne in Killing Gunther. And I hope everyone has seen Killing Gunther. It is so awesome. I think Heather just watched it.
Yes, it was really good. I liked it a lot.
No, tell me about this movie. I don't.
Not even heard
it's,
of it.
It's
oh, yes, I have. I just, sorry. Just
it's
saw
like,
this yesterday.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. It's just a bunch of, it's very simple, a bunch of assassins get together to kill basically the best assassin in the world, which is Gunther, and who is, you know, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, but you don't really see him. He comes in at the end, and it's kind of like not found footage style, but like through the camera that's followed him around.
Yeah, like
and it's just it's fucking hilarious.
You can't possibly kill me. I'm the best.
You could do a million awards to this movie.
Yeah, it was great.
Is this a new
that
movie?
That was a happy little find. Yeah.
It's 2017. Yeah.
It popped up. I think it's on Netflix
Prime.
Right now. No, it's
on
Prime. It's on Prime then. Yeah, it just popped
like
up on
one
Prime.
One of those straight video limited
video on demand
or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just saw it on Prime. I was like, "What the hell is this?"
It was a hoot.
I just happened to be looking up.
Go ahead, Dylan.
I was just going to say, I just happened to be looking up Schwarzenegger's filmography like yesterday or the day before and saw this, and I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. It's starring, I don't know if this was mentioned, it's directed by and starring Taron Killam from Saturday Night Live.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and features Kobe Smulders and Bobby Moynihan. There you go.
And very funny are they.
I was going to do another Arnold Award, actually.
Very funny are they? Did you just go like all Shakespearean and shit? What was that? Very funny, are they? Bring them my liege. Go ahead. What were you saying, George?
Oh, no, I was debating which one to do. I had another Arnold Award, I realized. But just because the sad Arnold Award, and that was going to go to Arnold, a very sad Arnold in Aftermath. I don't know. What is?
Really
I don't know what he's doing, but like Aftermath and Maggie also, like... I'm never going to watch those movies again. They were great, but, like, they're just so depressing.
He's a serious actor now.
Yeah.
So I turned my daughter into a zombie. Big mistake.
Yeah.
See, now you just made it funny.
I like that he said the sad Arnie award goes to Arnie, because if he didn't, that would be funny. If you said the sad Arnie award goes to Dave, that just like wouldn't work right.
Well, because he has to get the first one, and then other people can get that
then,
award.
Yes, then it's an That's honor. How it yes, it's an honor roll thing. Okay, Dylan, you want to go or me?
I'll go. Sure.
Go ahead.
We're going to end on not really a funny one, but a more serious one, a heartfelt award of congratulations. It's the Don't Mind Me, Just Taking Over the World Award, and it goes to Jason Blum and Blumhouse, who came onto the scene, I don't know, 15 years ago with Paranormal Activity, and has been kind of churning out 5 to 10, super small budget, and they make money, but they don't make a ton of money. In 2017, let's see, had a hand in Split, which made a shit ton of money. Had a hand in Get Out, made a shit ton of money. Had a hand in the last Insidious movie. I was looking, his films, the Blumhouse films combined for, I think, over $1 billion in 2017. And
holy
just,
crap.
I just want to be this guy right now.
Yeah, good for him.
He's got the perfect business model. I've been saying for a while, I need to either start making horror films or religious films, because you can make them for like $2 million and they're guaranteed to make 10 or 20.
Yep.
Because the audiences for those are so fucking stupid and so fucking loyal that they will see anything that you make. Yep. And I got to get behind that.
Well, and in
no
fairness,
offense to horror and
but,
Christian
No, no,
fans.
No. But then in fairness, you get a film like Split or Get Out, and then it's just like the lottery for that. Yeah, you're
That's
right.
That was probably his biggest budgeted film ever, and it was probably budgeted for less than $20 million.
Which one, Split or Get Out?
Split.
I think Split was $9 million.
Yeah. Yeah, you could see not a lot of money went to that.
Oh, could you? Which, could you see just... it on the screen? Was it up there in front of you the whole time, Heather?
Shut up.
She just made an arty noise. She just, like, inhaled and it went, glow. Did you guys catch that? Play the tape back. It sounded like this. Mark, go.
Wow.
Yeah, that was
wow.
It.
Wow.
And
wow,
funny.
No.
And
you
funny
work on
that.
Your Schwarzenegger.
What did you say, Dylan?
I just said, and funny are they?
Oh, yes, they are.
I haven't slept in about a week, barely at all. It's like 3-month-old sleep hours I've had this week. So my brain is starting to short-circulate.
You can tell
it's
in
okay.
Your sentences.
Yep.
Jesus, good. All right, I'm going to give you my last one. Okay, this is my It Can't Be That Bad. It can't be that bad. There's no way it could be as bad as you guys are all saying. Holy shit, it's worse. Award goes to...
It's a really long title.
The Val Kilmer voiceover in The Snowman. What the fuck is that all about? I don't know what happened. It doesn't look like him. It sounds like if you went on a plane and were listening to the Spanish version, like kind of like voiceover, and like it's not a great, it's not all up. I can see up on the screen they didn't put a lot into it, but like it when it comes to that, how did everybody watch that movie and then like there wasn't a decision made like we need to put $1,000 in the post to change this voiceover? Has anybody seen The Snowman yet?
No, I have to.
It's horrible, and it sounds so bad. It's like The Room, where it sounds so bad that I can't help but want to go watch it.
Well,
it's
setting me apart, Val!
It's like, he's clearly, I don't know if it had to do, like, there's supposedly he had, like, tongue or throat cancer. He looks like he just got done, like, going through treatment. Like, his face is, like, kind of shapes. There's, like, shapes to his face. He looks like he might even be concerned a little bit, but then he goes to talk, and there's this dude's voiceover that sounds nothing like Val Kilmer. And I had heard about it, and I was like, it can't be that bad. You guys are making a big deal on nothing. No, it's fucking weird, and it stands out. He doesn't speak a word of dialogue in the film. And there's even a part where they cut away from his face to do the voiceover.
So what? Top Gun Part 2, he's not going to show up, you think, Ben, huh?
Yeah, The Snowman 2. Even colder. Yeah. If for nothing else, you should see it for the Val Kilmer. Like, you could stop watching after that, but just go watch that.
Sounds like something YouTube was made for. But
I'm intrigued.
Exactly.
I think you could do it.
Also, today's show brought to you by Michael Fassbender.
Accepting the award will be Michael Fassbender. And his penis. His special pencil. All right, so that brings us to the end of the Lammies. You guys have Lammies, Jesus Christ, the Milfies. Jesus Christ. Oh, not runner up again. Hey, Dylan.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any, like, do you guys have any honorable mentions you want to throw out? I'll start with you if you got one, Dylan. Do you have
the Who Wants a Mustache Ride Award goes to Kenneth Branagh.
Ah,
I'd take that ride.
Yeah. I want to see it. I want to see that movie just for it.
You can almost almost piggyback and say who wants a CGI mustache award with Henry Cavill and the whole Justice League fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
They're giving mustache rides, are they? Okay, Mark.
Let me see. Honorable mentions. Let's see. Best Fast and the Furious sequel goes to Baby Driver.
Nice. I like that a lot. That's it.
Keep
okay.
going. You got if you got a few more.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh
right.
yeah, like, you got like holy cow! I had like a bunch.
Okay,
I was
you,
like,
give me three or four of the best. Just rifle them off. Let's hear them.
You bet, man. I have the What a Twist Your Career Is Back Award to M. Night Shyamalan for Split. I had the Best Guardians of the Galaxy Sequel Award to Thor Ragnarok, and My Apologies to Cuba Award for Fate and the Furious.
Nice. Yeah. I love that, dude. I love the Guardians one. All right, George, you?
No, actually, I'm good. I gave them all.
Okay. I've got the I Don't Want to Live in This World Anymore award, and it goes to Paddington 2 and Emoji. Emoji made $24 million opening weekend. Paddington 2, supposed to be great, made $35 million total.
Yeah, my daughter wanted to see Emoji movie to make fun of it, and we watched it last night, and her thoughts were, well, it was better than Geostorm.
Is Poop Emoji actually a character in that movie?
Yes. There's a family. There's a family of them.
There's a family of poop emoji.
Oh, yeah. My god!
My daughter would love that. She would absolutely love that.
Do they all have pink eye?
Oh.
If not, they should. Hey, I got a poop one. The movie title that makes me think about pooping in a tuxedo goes to Going in Style.
There you go.
Yeah, that's bad. The most forgettable film of the year goes to Unforgettable. And the Too Much Information Award goes to Mark Felt, Man Who Brought Down the White House, I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore, and My Entire High School Fell in the Sea. I don't need sentence titles to films, people. Seriously. Heather, what about you? You got anything we can end on? Something good?
I have the Way Too Much Cheesehead Award goes to... I had it Wisconsin Cheesehead. Goes to Kurt and Chris Pratt tossing the ball in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It killed me, that part in the movie. It was just so cheesy.
Wait,
and
you just made a football reference for a baseball throwing scene?
There you go.
Sounds good.
What did I say about tomorrow? Why can't we podcast then? What's that Super Bowl? Yeah, I don't care.
What else?
Okay, and then I had Slow Your Slow-Mo for Wonder Woman, because it was like every single scene. I found myself going, whoa, 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 at the screen while it was actually happening, because it was happening so often.
She does that during most
Snyder
movies, though.
That's the Zack Snyder hangover effect.
Yes.
Oh, my God, it was just so excessive. I'm like, this movie could be 25 minutes shorter.
That works so great in 300 with the Leonidas when he darts across the battlefield, but that's about it.
Yeah, use it. It's a great thing. But
it was fun the first time we saw it. Not so much the 300 times after.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, 300. Yep. Nice, Dylan. Well done.
Thanks.
I would also say we have to do away with the slow motion. Somebody's going underneath, you know, whatever, playing the limbo, you know, like Hamill does it with the lightsaber in The Last Jedi.
Oh, yes.
And I've seen that Vikander's doing it in the new Tomb Raider movie. It's always that slow motion, like, I'm just getting by.
You have to see their eyes as they watch it breeze by their face or trim like they're part of their bang off or something.
I hope Deadpool is listening to this so he can give us another superhero landing version of this with the slow-mo underneath something.
Absolutely, the slow-mo limbo technique, whatever it is.
All right, Heather, you done? One more? What do you got?
Nope, I'm done. I think that's it.
All right, you guys, I want to say this has been a success. I'm probably wrong, but I want to thank you all for being here. Let's go around the room. Dylan, buddy, what's going on in your life? Do you want to say anything to anybody? You want to give a shout-out, Dylan? Let's go to Zeus. Shout-outs, Dylan. Dylan in Arizona, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead,
I want to give a shout-out to my homie, B. I don't know. No, I don't have any shout-outs for you.
I liked it that your homie started with B. Like, it could have been Be Real or Be Quick, but, like, he had a B.
It was going to be something like that.
Okay.
No, I'm not shouting him out. He's a son of a bitch, and I don't like him anymore. So
beware, motherfucker. Go ahead.
Shit just got real. I knew it was going to.
Give a shout out to my number two pencil.
Okay. And you can find Dylan here when he comes on, right?
I'm on Twitter at Man I Love Films, where I don't tweet very often.
Yeah, that makes sense too. All right. Let's go to the boys. You want to just
you know
shout
what?
Out to all the kids or what?
Just a shout out to you guys for having us on, because like I say, he and I, between us, have zero qualifications, so we always appreciate you having us on for this.
Well, I'm telling you, George might not come back next year. I don't think he said but six words, so I'm just going to make you and have you do, I'll have you do impressions of George, and we'll pretend like
you know, actually, his wife's about to go into labor, so I'm going to give him a pass.
And?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, that was really
He's not
cool.
having
He's
the baby, tough. Mark.
I'm not sure.
I feel like I am, maybe. You don't know.
George, you can come back too.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Shout out to my Facebook feed, and that's about it.
If you could schedule your children's births a little better next year, I would appreciate that.
Well, it kind of did. It's scheduled for the 7th, but, you know, doctor doesn't think she'll make it. So.
Well, we hope everything goes splendidly, and congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
We can tell you're excited. All right, Heather, what do we want to plug?
Us, because we're awesome.
Yep.
And our shows are recording and stuff too. That's always good for a show that you want to play later. So that's great. You can follow us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram.
Hashtag sentences.
Oh boy, sentences are hard. Okay, so you can follow us on Instagram at MILFcast, or you can follow Kai on Twitter at Kiderman. Or you can follow me at Heather_Kenobi. I sometimes put things on there.
Yeah. Did you say Instagram, too?
I did.
Okay.
I said Instagram.
There's so many words. I felt like a dumpster full of words, and you just kind of sort through and try to put them back in the order they were. Hey, also, please come check out my art account, at The Amazing Kiderman. Hit me up if you like any of my stuff, and I'll get some out to you. So that's it. I could do this all day, but there's Biz We Drank, Movies We've Seen. We'll be back regular in a couple of weeks. See you guys next time. Heather!
Shit, yes, go, kill!
What the fuck was that?
Was that your Tron figure again?
Yeah.
That was Ricky Baker from Taika Waititi's Hunt from the Wilder People for Heather. Shit just got real!
I believe you knew that.
It did. That was amazing.
I thought that was a Heather action figure.
Heather is the action figure.
That's true. There's enough of me in the world.